Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
This is the third in a series of mini podcasts about the sort of strategic thinking aloud of where the quiz technology is going to go. So the first podcast was looking at sort of who should be involved, and the answer came back, I suppose, from looking at it, was that it should be perhaps special interest groups, say like Climate Council or some sort of protest groups who want to experiment and get out there. You want to get the strike people that you really want are people who, A, will do more than one podcast, you know, the type of people who will be engaged and trying to do more, and then that people who's involved in sort of enthusiasts will try and to sponsor and support other people doing it. So it's creating a channel, positioning yourself in a channel to market them. The second podcast is to do with the commercialization of it. Even though it is a non-commercial, pure strategy idea that I'm working on, developed everything, the actual thing requires people to get some sort of value out of it and positioning it such that it provides what people want. People will pay for what they want. So essentially provide some sort of management and some sort of free training, and it will provide some sort of qualification. So in that much, people pay for training services, and then training services can pay for some of this, but also people need qualification. So there is this possibility of qualification. There's also the need for people to actually buy services which support this. So this is people who are in the process are supported. That is, people with a voice, talent, or bodies, say like, medical people. People who require a certain amount of education. Now, sort of education itself is an investment which pays a return on investment, ROI. So there is a benefit, you know, direct calculatable benefit to the GDP of people doing it. And this is the commercial aspect of it. One of the commercial things is that you are, there are things in the marketplace already which fulfill a particular role, and therefore people have a certain loyalty to it, and it's also already in the marketplace in a, not a user pays, but the government pays. So it's very hard to get a specific thing in, and rather than being a generalized solution, it's more a specific solution and be able to dynamically look at different things at very high high speed going across. So they're the two things looking forward in terms of the strategy of like who to go to next, and what sort of how to build a business case for it. And this is something which is not an instantaneous thing. It's got to be lockstep to go with it. When I say lockstep, one thing develops, and as who develops, the business case begins to develop. Now, for investment and leverage, so the motion that you want to leverage is that you've got to... you've got to have a business case which says that you give me some money, I can give you... You give me a dollar, I can give you $2 back, and I want to do it because that's going to make me $3. So I have a process where I can probably use your money, but I have to see how it's done. So this is a business case, an investment business case, which is rather than actually nutting out, one of the things you've got to do is can the business sustain itself? Can the cash flow, can there be a cash, what are the costs of the business, and can it sustain itself going forward? So you've got to have different business models and different timelines for it, and people to invest and form a relationship with it. So you can form a relationship as a casual user or an expert user or a resource generator. You've got all these different models to go through, and then so that people can use it up to a certain point, but at the moment they need to convert value, you then ask for value back. So they can test it, but if they want a certificate printed out that they have achieved a certain amount in a certain time, that will be a cost of money. The overall cost, but the costs are fairly cheap now. And then there's also the advertising model that people will do. I mean, there's other things you can do. You can do a multiple choice to create the educational, or to identify, you know, there's different types of multiple choices. There's the right and wrong answer, and then there's character answers. There's also special interest areas, like Harry Potter, for instance. So to actually do a Harry Potter quiz to see exactly how that's done, would be an example. So there are all those commercial things. Then the fundamental question is this another brochure? Is it another medium, or is it something a bit more? And of course, what I'm aiming for is something which doesn't replace just a textbook. It doesn't replace supervision. It doesn't replace various, you know, the system stays the same and this achieves the actual process. This is the third area, and this is the actual sort of analysis, the differentiation between the situation as it is now. So a lot of resonant information in the system is just plain wrong. It's right in terms of that's what's taught. It's right in that it generates the correct answer, but physically it's incorrect and doesn't link forward. So what I'm trying to think of the strategic advantage here of having a dual thing. One is a continuous quality system. So to have a continuous quality system, the actual unit has to be like equivalent to a textbook, to the paragraph of a textbook page, and that gets upgraded continuously with improvements the entire time. Sort of like a amazing Wikipedia, an amazing sort of Wikipedia page where people, and a Wikipedia is an example of open source quality improvement. To try and get through. There's sort of that aspect of it, and also something where the information is available at different points, but not occupying an area outside the traditional textbook and documentary, where the class has to sit down. You have to have a huge component for it. People can be getting on with their busy life, and pushing it through. There's also the other thing is that there's sort of a live data thing. So at any point in time, from the number of questions being asked, you can pull up what is gathering people's interest at this point in time, and you can therefore use that data to provide a designer education product. So if all of a sudden kids around the world want to know about dinosaurs, you can actually, and they're asking certain or wanting to answer certain sorts of questions, or the education is leading that sort of way. So besides the actual process being remove the institution and just let the scientists peer review questions as they come along is one way of doing it. There's also the ability, this is Live Strategic Model, to actually get a more hands-on live feed of what actually is interesting people and what sort of answers people are giving across the board in real time. And this is what often happens, is that you have a unique cohort of students who answer in a particular way, and that's, it's almost as though you're prescribing people for looking at the, by looking at, checking the symptoms of the person who arrived the session before. If that makes sense, that you can say, well, and in order to do that, you've got to recreate all the conditions, and then for, you can improve it. You can, and it depends on what you're trying to do. That's reasonable. If one person comes in malnourished, the next person comes in malnourished, you can know in advance to tell them to throw some food out into the waiting room and get that to come in, and then you can monitor, oh, I'm throwing a bit of food, people will get, it's sort of, it's just not in real, in real time. The other aspect of it, is that as there are emerging strategic issues, so this is an example that, people knowing that I'm run into CRISPR knowledge, but again, there's CRISPR-Cas9, technology with the guide RNA. My knowledge is, you know, this is obviously very important to come across that. If you are a scientist, you can say, oh, well, I can, this is what to teach. Now, when I actually taught it, I was taught, oh, we can tell your class is the only class, this is 5 years ago, in 2014, your class is the only class who's written anything about CRISPR technology. Who's ever heard of CRISPR technology? And so, in a local area, depending if you've got a bright spark scientist, you can actually cancel that bright spark scientist. You can actually wipe them off the face of the earth. All very successful. You can say, job well done. But CRISPR is an emerging technology. It's something which has to be explained and pushed forward. And so what happens is that you remove the environmental factors which suppress education and relevant things. And because it's more up-to-date, you can actually get the most up-to-date questions. And therefore, you want to add a technology like a feedback. You know, you can get provided feedback. There's all these things for which the platform that I'm building at the moment doesn't actually support it. So what I'm doing is still building things which don't rely on PHP, doesn't rely on databases. Something really much to be built up as the next generation of Facebook. Sort of like Facebook with a conscience, so to speak. And it's sort of how do you actually meld this technology? So the obvious thing to do is to start build a business case and build a plan to be actually bought up by Facebook. There's nothing more more pathetic than someone who's got an idea, hasn't developed it, and has joined the queue with people outside, the people with heaps of money, saying, hey, I've got a great idea. And firstly, they've got no leverage, they haven't developed the idea, and ideas are cheap. They listen to it and they say, oh, look, we've had that idea. But there is some elements of controlling, not necessarily having Facebook controls users, but actually giving a piece of information, a Facebook profile. So it can be asked in different ways, different varieties, pulled up and really mixed up. This is important, you've got to have a like, dislike, commentary, which actually sits on that piece of information. And so you can build up a series of information. So there's that strategic viewpoint of the rather than being the content, it's not the, method, it's not a methodology of presenting content. It is actually restructuring the content. It's like it's a fundamental, it's restructuring the content and who can play with it. And it's trying to open up the actual basis of who can actually play with the various pieces. So this is one of the things that I'm really trying to get up there. So essentially, it's now there's overall technology. Now one has to assume that you're not going to get a helping hand from anyone. Firstly, you've got your tech giants who are just not going to help you. I mean, that's very clear. You've also got your encumbrance, which are not going to help you. So that realistically leaves you a very small zone to operate on and a very few small zone to say, well, we're not interested in making money out of your group. You're a different group from the people who are going to make money off. You are the valuable early adopters, and you are co-investors with us. So there is a way of actually, I suppose, issuing people, early investors, with goodwill units, and how to value what a goodwill unit is. To say, so if you produce something for the process and it generates so many likes, so there's sort of like a base goodwill unit for, I don't know, we really need sort of an alternative currency, almost a cryptocurrency, that if someone does, I mean, it's a complicated thought, but in terms of building up the strategic community and realizing, so this is the third level of it, of what is this, the core strategic advantage, like who does it, and economic model. These are different. They're strategic questions, but that doesn't answer what the strategic advantage of something is. So you can have, I mean, classically, you can have buggy whip or special things which go on a horse, but if the horses aren't going to be there in the future, you're going to be driving, all the goodwill and technology means that you're doing a lot of good thinking for something very, very small. And then, but it goes interesting, there's Australia's old car manufacturing process, which is 145 years, something so incredibly old. One of the oldest car manufacturers in the world was Australia. This is probably incorrect, but they were into making carriages, horse and buggy carriages, and so they just converted with the help of General Motors to becoming a car company. And so this is the coming across. So their initial relationship with customers developed them in the transport space, and then it moved, and then they went through a whole process where it developed and went forward, and then died, disappeared. So I think that can go through forward. But I've got a real sense that this is going to be from the past. I sort of rather like the idea of a like you can have the 21st, you can have heaps of things like the 21st birthday party, multiple choice, where people have to answer. There's heaps of different things to push forward. And so you could write a multiple choice question for someone's 21st birthday, or a marriage, or a farewell, or some sort of history, which would just really allow one to go forward. And it's the there's sort of like the private thing, the forward the forward thing. So there's almost sort of different classes, and you, if you want sort of something, say, incredibly, a lot of the information provided by ANSTO and CSIRO, people have claimed, you know, people want to do something, they've claimed the logo, so to speak, and they're producing utter rubbish. I had to say it, like ANSTO, which is through this nuclear reactor, is not doing any quantum mechanics, which is okay, I suppose. It means that what they're teaching is very close to what's in the syllabus, but it's still wrong. And then the periodic tables which they pump out are incorrect. They've got, I think, they have, I think, what's it? Oh, lanthanum and actinium underneath yttrium. Was it scandium, yttrium? And they've got the actual table wrong. Look, it's physically wrong because it hasn't actually... You know, it can be right if you do certain things, but it's, they haven't done it, so the tables are wrong. So you've got these, this whole encumbered landscape which you've got to create a dynamic window for. So I think there is a business case to actually get going here. We're going right well for time. I think I'm doing fantastically. Coming here, and you hear the noise here. I'm going across the Pian River. So this is actually like a huge, broad river. Now, what it really is a dam. Okay, so there's a big weir at the other end. So it looks as though it's a big, healthy river, the way I look at it. In Europe, it looks like a European river, whereas Australian rivers are really little streams. You get the Murray River, some of the big... I think Australia has got the... it goes the Nile. It's the Nile longest, the Amazon River, and then the Mighty Murray, our river, which comes from Victoria. It's actually bigger than the Mississippi. No, it hasn't got the flow rate of the Mississippi. It takes, I think, 3 months for water, a drop of rain, which lands at... and it's not... Again, people have built weirs across the Murray. So it's a river, but it's got these weirs to hold up the water. Yeah. Okay, sorry for being diverted there for a moment. So there's, you've got these three areas of strategy. Who? Commercialization. And the actual value proposition of how you actually specify what's going on. So just to put you in the picture, we have a quiz, and the quiz is aimed at extracting an explanation, breaking it up such that it can be quality controlled, and positioning it, sort of taking the overhead of answering a question where you just ask the question, and all that, are you waiting, are you paying now, you're, all that stuff that you fire teachers is done, and all the time of come to class and learn, it's a bit different. Now, it's a different structure, and it's got a space. It's may well be that I can see artificial intelligence, I suppose artificial intelligence, but from if you browse a certain area, you can do a multiple choice test, and it can interact with that and identify the next area that you should browse. So this is independent research, but with far more bespoke education, where it's sort of analyzes how you should go, rather than actually creating a lab system where you say, if someone's at a point with such and such a value system, I say, well, they can only go if they go through a series of qualifications. And what can identify is that, say, if they do poorly on a multiple choice test, in a certain way, they have to, they can actually do supplementary questions, i.e. that if you have got one question of a particular type, you can get a whole series of questions of a certain type to go through. So that's the general plan as it is now with the three areas of strategy. And let's see, hopefully that goes through and that we get a bit more of an uptake of people interested in it. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.